G'day everyone, and welcome to The Essential Listen, presented by Colonial Brewing Co., Port Melbourne. Well, another massive game for the Bombers looming this week against North Melbourne. An 8-point game, a mini final, with a whole lot of teams queuing up to win a spot in the finals race. 4 out of 5 now the Bombers have won, really gathering some momentum. It's going to be a massive game. We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. As I say, a very good afternoon to my lovely co-host, Megan Huswhite.
Hi, Ro. 4 out of 5 ain't bad, and it's nice to be here doing The Essential Listen after a win. There's been a lot of talk about it being an ugly victory, but I think beauty is in the eye of the beholder. It was beautiful to me.
Well, there were moments of beauty.
Plenty coming up on the show today. We will wrap up the win over the Swans. We're going to preview that massive game against the Roos on Saturday. We're taking your questions from social media as well. Don't forget you can tweet us at any time and use the hashtag TheEssentialListen. We'll have a quirky fact, a couple of big calls, and Rowan, your song of the week.
New segment. You know I love my music. Yes. I just thought I could help inspire the guys. I know they've probably got their favourites, but I thought, you know, something that actually sounds good might be preferable.
So it's a start, isn't it?
I've dragged out my comprehensive collection of 90s bangers, and I think I've got a good song to match this week's theme. So looking forward to that.
Well, it's a perfect match, isn't it? 90s bangers, and Essendon and North Melbourne had a wonderful rivalry throughout the 90s. But let's move on and talk about our win over the Swans at the MCG on Saturday. We continue to find a way to win, Roko, and it's pretty impressive given that we continue to be up against it.
Yeah, well, 2 weeks in a row now, I guess the most impressive thing, other than getting the victory, of course, is coming from behind in last quarters. And happened against GWS, 19 points down, and 9 points down early in the last quarter against the Swans. And the Swans aren't a team you climb over lightly. You know, they're always competitive. They don't surrender leads easily. They'd controlled the third quarter, and at that stage you would have said we're in a bit of strife here. But I think that's been the most encouraging thing the last 2 weeks, that they've really shown a welcome streak of resilience and been able to fight back and end up running over the top of not one but two pretty good sides on end.
Heard Michael Hurtley talking on the radio this week about how we won in ugly fashion. Mm. And he said it's actually been really nice because it shows the development of the group.
Yeah.
And it's not something that we would have been able to do back in the early rounds, you know, the first month of the season. So as much as it might be pretty,
yeah,
it's actually been really crucial and a bit of a measuring stick of our development just within the season.
Yeah, I feel like the last two wins have been a bit of a return to the Anzac Day game. And I know we didn't win that, but the significant thing about that was, a poor start, but getting headed by an opposition and then dragging ourselves back into the contest with some really good, tough football. The difference probably with these two games, besides winning, obviously, is I feel like we've really run over the top of the opposition in the end. I felt on last Saturday that our run and that sort of outside game really ended up catching up with the Swans. They couldn't keep up in the end. And, you know, ditto the GWS win as well. So fitness is obviously not a big concern. And I think, you know, one of the keys to Essendon's performances this year have been that ability to win the hard defensive aspects, but then translate that into some ball on the outside and using that productively. And, you know, we've got plenty of runoff half back again. It was an interesting game statistically because we lost a lot of those key stats. You know, we lost contested ball, clearances, inside 50 count, lost there, but probably ended up just using it a little bit more efficiently than the Swans did. They did miss some absolute sitters in front of goal.
One of the key factors in our wins over the last couple of months or this stretch of the season has been our younger players who continue to get big opportunities in the absence of some of our senior players who have been out injured. Our skipper, of course, wasn't part of the game on Saturday, but led by the likes of McGrath, Parrish. McGrath, 21 disposals, 8 and 3 inside 50s in that last quarter. They continue to step up in the heat of the battle.
No, McGrath's last quarter was superb. A bit like I thought Langford's last quarter the previous week. And Parrish, you know, this is probably the best football he's played in his career the last 6 to 8 weeks. You know, he's just been a constant. So really getting the feel for that midfield role, and he's a fixture in there now. And absolutely, really encouraging. I guess from another perspective too, it's a bit of a vindication of the depth, which has often been questioned. But, you know, when you think about it, no Heppel, no Bell Chambers, no Ambrose, no Joe Danaher, no Devon Smith. You know, there's five of your seven or eight most important players. That's a real testament to the amount of talent we have below that best 22.
Three Crichton medal winners out of that list.
Yeah.
And the VFL side is top of the ladder, and there's some guys putting up some pretty impressive cases in the VFL as well. Well, time for a short break on the Essential Listen. Up next, our focus shifts to the Roos.
For every home game this year, we need you, our mighty Bomber faithful, to bring your voice and passion. 30 seconds before the bounce, our stadium will light up as a signal to get your scarves waving. Let's turn our home into a fortress and let the opposition know they're taking on all of us.
Well, 60,000 at the G last week and another bumper crowd expected at Marvel Stadium on Saturday. Cannot wait to get that scarf waving before the bounce, Megs. But unfortunately, we're going to be there without that man we just heard from.
Yes, that's right. We head into the game against North Melbourne on Saturday unchanged. The skipper, Dyson Heppel, will miss again with a genetic foot injury.
What does that entail? You mean? It makes me think he was born with six toes or something.
Or that his mum has it.
Yeah, well, they're all simultaneously in a moon boot.
Unfortunately, our captains are at the moment, but we'll get to that a bit later on the podcast. But, yes, so Hep's out for Saturday against the Roos. Let's take a listen to Woosha speaking about that now.
I don't know. It's a genetic thing. So it's basically something that he had in his other foot. He had that fixed years ago. And, you know, this one may or may not need some intervention at some point. It may just be right.
So it's a big out for us, Ro, especially considering we are coming up against the Roos in a very physical midfield. How are we going to combat that?
Oh, look, it's going to be tough. I mean, their whole revival really has been based around that midfield. They've had two things of significance. Jai Simkin has started playing some incredible footy, really racking up the touches. Less of that small forward role, more of a midfield role. And the other one is the skipper, Jack Zeeble, has, after they tried to use him as sort of a medium-sized forward, he's moved back into the midfield. And both those guys have given him a lot of extra hardness. Simkin is quite a tough player. He doesn't necessarily look that way, but he is. And in addition to Ben Cunnington, who he's having some sort of season, Cunnington, and I've probably been guilty of this myself, and I know a lot of other people, footy observers, have, of perhaps underestimating his class. And I've been put right on this by a host of North Melbourne people, and I guess I've been watching him closely lately, but he actually is elite at a lot of facets of the game. Elite handballer, his contested work is terrific. You have a look at his stats at the moment, and he's just so far ahead of other North players in stats like not only disposals but contested ball clearances. So throw in Jared Pollock as well, Jed Anderson playing some really good footy. So they've got an in-form midfield, and it runs pretty deep too. So it's going to be tough.
North have won five of their last six games, and they've certainly turned things around since Reece Shaw took over. They were 3-7 when he replaced Brad Scott. They're now 7-8 behind us. They're in 10th place. So they've increased their pressure dramatically around the ball. Their contested work's gone to another level. And, of course, you mentioned Cunnington and Zeeble and the impact they're having. But where else have you seen that drastic improvement?
Oh, look, I don't think there's any great secret about it. Basically, pressure. We interviewed Reece Shaw pre-game on 3RW the other week, and he was just talking about trying to improve those harder aspects of their game, which I think they'd perhaps subconsciously even relaxed a little bit in. And Essendon's a good example of this too. You get those more defensive midfield aspects right and the attack sort of flows from there, you know, because you're forcing turnovers, you win more of the ball, you're winning more clearances. So I think that's been a thing for them. The other thing is up forward. Now, early in the season when they were struggling, Ben Brown was a bit like a shag on a rock. Actually, he's a shag on a rock with that hair, really, isn't it? Now
he
I
is.
Think about it. Lovely guy, Ben, too, incidentally.
He is.
I felt like the departure of Jared Waite had really sort of not helped his cause at all. But Nick Larkey has really emerged with a rush. And together, that sort of dual prong key forward approach has worked really well for him. And I guess a testimony to how well they're playing and how much they've spread the load recently is the fact that Sean Higgins hasn't been there. Now, even at the start of a season, if he wasn't there, you would have thought a complete disaster. But they've been able to work around that and had enough in reserve, really, to play good footy anyway.
So. Yeah, and we talk about our young players that have really stepped up to the plate over the last little while, but it's certainly been North's as well, their younger brigade of Roos that have come to the party and helped in their resurgence. As you mentioned, Larky, 5 goals last week in the Round 16 Rising Star nominee. And I can never get this right, but I'll have a crack. Cam Zerha.
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 Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those ones that I can read it and I can write it, but I always feel like I'm going to stumble on it.
Wasn't that a movie or something? Don't mess with Zerha. What was
well,
it?
We won't want to mess with him on Saturday
because he had a great game
last week as well. So as you said, they've got guys kicking goals and kicking bags of goals that aren't, you know, it's not necessarily Ben Brown. So it means that there's some real legitimate key matchups there. We're certainly a different side to the one that beat the Roos on Good Friday. We're missing some key players. Of course, that was Joe Danaher's first game of the season. Smith, Heppel, Bell Chambers and Ambrose out as well. But we are playing a different style of footy now.
Yeah, well, and so are they. Ambrose is an interesting one because he was on Ben Brown in that game and did a particularly good job on him. So in a way, it's sort of reduced the matchup possibilities on Larky and on Brown this time. Danaher was there. So, yeah, I mean, the look is pretty different to what they had. And Bell Chambers in the ruck. So Zach Clark up against Todd Goldstein is going to be interesting. Now, that's a huge challenge for Clark, let's be honest. Goldstein has had a pretty good season. I think he's fourth in the AFL for hitouts at the moment. Quite mobile too, winning enough of the ball around the ground. So that's a challenge for Clark as well. Interesting game, Zach Clark, last week. He had a pretty tough day at the office. And Alir, I thought, played him pretty smartly for three quarters. You know, he's basically roving to Clark's ruck work. But he did stand up in that last quarter and took some, you know, pretty telling marks, I think. So hopefully that's given him a bit of confidence that he can build on. But, you know, Essendon really needs Clark to put in a big game in the ruck because I think one of the advantages Essendon might have over North Melbourne is clearances. Centre clearances at Marvel Stadium are always somehow seem more important than at other grounds. So the ruck work will be particularly crucial to this game, I think.
And Clark got better as the game went on last week, and Woosha mentioned during this week that obviously been out of the AFL for some time, so it's taken some adjusting to get back into it, and hopefully he can carry that momentum and I guess some confidence too out of the last quarter. Going into this week, as you said, Goldstein ranked third best in the comp for the ruck duels, 15th best player overall. So he's having, like Zeeble and Cunnington, having a really good season. It's probably gone under the radar a little bit, but his work in the ruck certainly played a massive part in giving first use to their on-ballers last week in that big win over St Kilda.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we've talked a lot about Dylan Clark, haven't we, and some of the lockdown jobs he's had. I think this week, I mean, the obvious one for me would have to be Cunnington. I mean, he is the key. I did write down some numbers, actually. I think Cunnington, he's had twice as many contested possessions as the next highest Kangaroo, twice as many clearances, averaging 17 contested possessions per week. And so if you cut down or cut off his supply, I think you're halfway there. So big job for Dylan Clark, but I think he's up to it. We've seen him knock over Patrick Cripps. We've seen him knock over Jager O'Meara. You know, he was able to curb two GWS players. I think the other one who could be quite pivotal is Dylan Scheel, who played a fantastic game against the Roos last time. I think Essendon's big chance in this game, and we touched on it earlier, is to at least split the midfield, but really try and get the ball outside and beat them on the outside. I think that was a key to Good Friday. And again, and these guys are becoming real barometers for Essendon's performance, I reckon, off halfback, Adam Sard, Connor McKenna. If they start winning plenty of the ball, start rebounding out of that 50, it usually means look out, Essendon's on.
We're going to give our big predictions in a moment, but my little stat of the week this week is, should we beat North Melbourne, it will mark our 100th win over the Roos since they entered the VFL in 1925. And we know that Omen Watch was on point last week ahead of the Swans game.
Yeah.
Now, Ro...
I was going to say, it's a good stat. I was actually there for the first win over the Roos. I'm going to do one of those age gags.
Sweet, sweet memories. Ro, let's get your predictions for the game. I'll get a result, best on ground and a big call.
All right. I've just got a good vibe about this game. I think North is playing good footy and it's going to be tough, but I think Essendon has conjured some really good wins lately, and I think they can carry that on and give perhaps a more attacking sort of presence than they've had the last couple of weeks. So I'm going for Essendon by 6 points. Best on ground, and I just mentioned him before, Dylan Scheel. I think that was a real breakout game for him as an Essendon player on Good Friday. I think he can repeat that. I'm not sure if North's got someone who can put the clamps on him as well as Dylan Clark can on Cunnington. So Dylan Scheel for BOG. My big call, and it is big, I think Mitch Brown, and you know, we're both big fans of Mitch here on the Essential Listen, but I think Mitch Brown can be a real key factor in this game, just with that work rate, working up and down the ground. I think he can really stretch the North back line. And Robbie Tarrant and Scotty Thompson are good players, but they're not necessarily overly mobile or quick. I think Mitch can exploit that, and I'm tipping that he's going to have a really good game and end up with 3 goals.
My tips, Essendon by 17 points, Dylan Scheel, the milestone man in AFL game 150, best on ground, and my big call is Jake Stringer to kick his first 5-goal haul for the Bombers. It won't be Larky or Zerkar this week.
I like it.
Kicking a bag of 5.
I like it.
Well, Saturday marks our annual Tackling Childhood Cancer game in support of Charity Partner Challenge. The Challenge logo will feature on the Guernsey along with a yellow armband. To donate to Challenge and support kids with cancer, head to challenge.org.au/donation. Time for a quick break. Up next on The Essential Listen, we'll be answering your social media questions.
Well, welcome back to The Essential Listen podcast. We asked you guys out there to send us some questions, hashtag The Essential Listen, and you responded in droves. So we've picked out some of the best to answer. And Megs, I'm going to put you straight in the hot seat. Question from Travis. He asks, Will Snelling is posting some impressive numbers in the VFL. Is it time to give him a go in the seniors, perhaps against the Crows next week, as he's from Adelaide?
It's time. I saw Snelling play in the win over Coburg at the weekend, 34 disposals. He's just too good to be playing this level. Obviously played in the Sandford the last couple of years, and he's made a very smooth transition into the VFL. Mature body, mature age. Yep, let's debut him next week.
Yeah, it's a good point about coming from Adelaide too. I think I might sort of ease the nerves a little bit. And I like that It's Time slogan. Worked for Gough Whitlam in 1972, can work for Essendon and Will Snelling.
It can work for Will Snelling. I've got a question for you, Ro, from Cassandra. If we were to finish 7th or 8th, what would be your ideal matchup for an elimination final? Personally, I'd love to see us go up against Collingwood in front of 100,000 at the G.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would obviously be an awesome event, wouldn't it? That would be the marketing department response, I think. I'm going for the football department response, which is we want to play whoever gives us the best chance of winning. And look, as good as Brisbane has been this year, and it looks like they're going to be there, you'd still think that they're under a bit more pressure than other finalists, particularly if they finish outside the top four, which I suspect they will. I suspect they're going to finish about 5th. Which means they play 8th. So if Brisbane finished 5th, Essendon finished 8th, that would mean a final at the Gabba. I'd be reasonably confident about that from an experience point of view. I think the Lions playing at home would put a bit more pressure on them. And Essendon's record at the Gabba is pretty good of late. In fact, we've won the last four there. Last time Brisbane beat Essendon at the Gabba was all the way back in 2009 when you were a mere pup, Megs. Kevin Rudd was still Prime Minister. I don't think Brendan Favola had joined him yet. But anyway, you get my drift. It's
a while ago. It was a decade ago.
So from a footy perspective, I'd say I'd like an Essendon-Brisbane match up. And Essendon-Brisbane, of course, I'm going to turn the tables on that famous old Lee Matthews saying, if it bleeds, we can kill it. A question from Scott. What's the situation with Myers? Do you think he's made the decision to play out the year in the VFL, or is he just not good enough? Can you see him being at the club next season?
Well, I don't think he makes the decision to play out the year in the VFL. Can I see him being here next season? Well, I'm not sure. I still think there could be opportunities for him this year. We've got quite a few injuries. And as we touched on earlier, our depth is pretty impressive at the moment. The VFL side is top of the ladder. Myers had 28 possessions and a goal at the weekend and has been in the best, if not the best, every week since he's gone back. And I'm sure there's lots of aspects of his game that he's working on. So I think he's doing everything he needs to at VFL level should he earn a recall.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a bit of horses for courses, isn't it? I mean, he must have been very seriously in consideration this week, given that North has a strong, you know, physical sort of midfield presence. They're the sort of games you're going to want him, I think, probably less so in the midfield. Has a fair bit of pace, the opposition midfield.
Our final question is from Alex. It's for Rowan. What do you make of the low scores in games this season? Are coaches being too defensive to blame, or is it rule changes over recent seasons?
Good question, Alex, and it's become a bit of a hobby horse of mine. I've got to be honest, I think this has been one of the most underwhelming AFL seasons I can remember. It's really hard to think of too many memorable games, apart from the Essendon wins, of course, but really, just purely from an aesthetic point of view, it hasn't been great to watch. The low scores, I don't think the rule changes are to blame per se, but there is an argument that, like 666, for example, coaches will say that it makes it very hard for them to get the spare defender back and to create that overlap and therefore run the ball out of defence. So that's why a lot of sides, when they win possession in defence after a centre bounce, will just retain possession, chipping it around the half-back line, which isn't great to watch by anyone's measure. And, yeah, I think the coaches are to blame. I think the coaches, they feel like they've lost a bit of control over the game, just with things like the runners not being out there as much. So I think where they can, I mean, coaches are control freaks, really. You think about Nathan Buckley, the way he had to be, and he admits this, the way he had to be persuaded to relinquish control over various elements of the team. Incidentally, I think that's one of John Worsfold's best qualities as a coach. He empowers his assistants. So I think what coaches can control, they will. And so hanging on to the football has just become number one priority. We did an amazing interview pre-game last week with Matthew Scarlett from Geelong. He was talking about the Cats defending with the ball, which is a first for me. I thought you defended when you don't have the ball. And he was talking about defending with the ball to allow them to catch their breath a bit, but also simply to deny the opposition the ball. So it's great to, you know, defence works and, yes, it wins premierships. I think it's been taken too far, and it's up to some coaches out there to be brave enough to be the ones who say we're going to tip the balance back a bit towards attack and try and score and try and play some attractive footy. And hopefully the Bombers can be part of that too, Mix.
I'm sure. Great questions, everyone. Make sure you send them through at any time using the hashtag TheEssentialListen. Let's take a quick break. And on the other side, VFL, VFLW and Rowan's Song of the Week.
Well, time now, Megs, to talk about the VFL and the VFLW wrap. And it was one of each on the weekend. Good win to the boys in the VFL, Essendon 15-8-98. Pretty comprehensive victory over your Coburg, Megs, 8-11-59 at Piranha Park.
Yeah, it was a good day at the footy on Sunday. Great to see a lot of Bomber fans down there. And if you catch the highlights on the Essendon website, you'll hear that there was a fair bit of noise and celebration when players kick goals throughout the day, and there were five to none in the second term. A massive first half from the Bombers, which really set up that win and moved them back to the top of the VFL ladder. A couple of injuries, which was unfortunate, but great to see Josh Begley responding to his omission with three goals. Will Snelling, as we mentioned a bit earlier, 33 disposals, 8 tackles and 4 marks. And yeah, he continues to show that he's well and truly up to that level and pressing for senior selection and an AFL debut.
So top of the ladder with that 39-point win going past Richmond. It's a real testament, isn't it, to the senior players who, when they've been dropped from the AFL side, have always come back and perform really strongly.
Yeah, that's right. So Bagley's been in there. Michael Hartley, we haven't seen in AFL level this year, but is doing a great job in the VFL and is a real leader for that team as well. And then you guys like Aaron Heppel, Heath Hocking, Danny Unan, that real VFL component continue to play such an important role in this side. But we had an injury.
Yeah, Kobe Much, isn't he, unlucky Megs, fractured a kneecap, a bad one, and set for an extended stint on the sidelines. He just can't seem to buy a trick, poor old Kobe.
No, he's not having much luck at the moment. Now, next up, North Melbourne at midday, Windy Hill on Saturday. Get down and enjoy that if you can.
I just want to ask you very quickly, so how did your barracking go? Did you sort of quarter each or...?
Yeah, pretty much. I just followed the goals, went either up either end. I didn't know if I was Arthur or Martha, but I was both.
Right, okay.
So Saturday, back in action against North Melbourne, we smashed the Roos by 94 points back in round 3 at Avalon Airport Oval. So go and take in the VFL at midday before you head to the big game at Marvel Stadium in the afternoon.
All right, so VFLW, what happened?
Well, I mentioned before that we've got skippers in moon boots, and unfortunately our VFLW captain Courtney Ugel has suffered an ankle fracture and will miss the rest of the season. So that was a sickening incident during the game on Saturday, where we fell 20 points short of ladder leader Collingwood at Windy Hill.
Got within 7 points, I think, in the final term, but the Pies kicked a couple of late ones. Just seems to be a recurring theme, narrow defeats this year, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's certainly been massive improvements on our debut season, but we definitely could have won a couple of games, more than we already have, but we're striving towards improving on that. Hayley Bullis is also on our injury list. She's got a partial ACL, but the good news is Ali Anderson will be back for the Bombers this week. There's no actual VFL game, but we do have a practice match against GWS at the Hangar on Saturday. That begins at 10:30. So there you go, Bomber fans. Come to the Hangar, watch... Yeah. VFLW against the Giants, go to Windy Hill, watch the boys in the VFL, and then finish up at Marvel for the Twilight game.
A triple header.
3 different venues. What a day.
It should be a ripper. Well, I think that's just about it, isn't it? Are you going to allow me to intro the new segment?
Yes. It's time for Rowan's new segment.
It's Song of the Week, as indicated at the start of the show. Now, I thought of a good theme for this week, of course. What do you think of when you think of Essendon North Melbourne games? What's the one that instantly comes to mind?
The Comeback.
Is that a song you know, is it? Did you just make that up?
Yeah.
Not bad singing voice. I gave it about a 7 out of 10. Of course, the Comeback game, 2001, 69 points down 10 minutes into the second quarter after a goal from Matthew Spider-Burton, whereupon a torrent of Essendon goals was unleashed on the hapless Kangaroos, and we ended up winning a famous victory by 12 points. Magnificent day. But the last 2 weeks as well, Mex, we've come back from 19 points down against GWS in the last quarter and 9 points against Sydney last week. So I racked my brains. I thought, what's a good theme? Okay, I've got it. Foo Fighters and Come Back. We're going to go out with Come Back by the Foo Fighters, and we'll see you next week on The Essential List.
See you next week. I will come back.